Here we go. You're listening to Law and Gospel on this Friday, July the 26th, in the year of our Lord, 2024. I'm Pastor Tom Baker, and we take a look at an email that we received entitled, Why Jesus Says He Loves Us, But Allows Tragedy in Our Lives. Well, when people tell us it's too hard for them to memorize scripture, there's always one verse that's pointed out to them. John 11:35. It's the shortest verse in the Bible. Quote, Jesus wept, unquote. Everyone can memorize those two words, which are pretty much the same over a variety of translations. It's such a simple sentence that there aren't that many different ways to translate it. But in those two words are some profound lessons about our faith. This specific verse appears in the story of the death and resurrection of Lazarus from John chapter 11. Jesus was out teaching when his friends Mary and Martha sent word to him that their brother Lazarus was very ill. Yet instead of heading out immediately to help his friend, Jesus waited a couple of days before returning to Bethany, where the family lived. And by the time he finally got there, Lazarus not only had already died, but he had been buried. When Jesus arrived, Mary said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask. She had faith that there was still hope for her brother. Jesus told her, I am the resurrection and the life, and that Lazarus would rise again at the last day. Still, Jesus saw Mary and others from the community weeping over the death of Lazarus. Verse 33 is especially descriptive. When Jesus saw her weeping and saw the other people wailing with her, a deep anger welled up within him. And he was deeply troubled. Jesus went to the tomb where Lazarus had been buried. That's when we get that verse, Jesus wept. And then he asked for the stone to be removed. Now, the people said, no, Lazarus was in the grave for too long that he would stink. But Jesus prayed to God and then commanded Lazarus to come out of the tomb. Lazarus emerged from the tomb, still wrapped in his burial clothing. Lazarus was alive, and many came to faith in Jesus as a result. There are so many things that we can learn from this story. Mary and Martha were facing a personal crisis. Their brother was deathly ill. They didn't know what to do, so they called on Jesus. And it's interesting to me the way they called on him. They didn't invite Jesus to their home or even ask him anything. They just told him that Lazarus was sick and assumed that Jesus, as their friend, would respond appropriately. We should always bring our troubles to Jesus. James 4:2 says, "You do not have because you do not ask." In fact, that is a pattern we see all throughout the Bible. When the Israelites entered the desert after fleeing from the Egyptians, they came to the Red Sea. They were really worried. Then God used Moses to open up the Red Sea and allow them to travel over on smooth, dry ground. But then it says they spent days without any water. The people complained and began to turn against Moses and God. So what did Moses do? He brought this problem to God and cried out to the Lord for help. Exodus 15, verse 25. Later in Jerusalem, King Hezekiah received a threatening letter from the Assyrian army heading his way to capture Jerusalem. It was a pivotal moment for the kingdom of Judah. And all Hezekiah knew what to do was to turn it over to God. He went up to the Lord's temple and spread the letter out before the Lord. That was found in Isaiah 37, verse 14. In the New Testament, after Herod Antipas beheaded John the Baptist, the disciples did what? They went and told Jesus what had happened. Matthew 14, verse 12. That's what we need to do when troubles come. We need to set them before God. We need to bring them to Jesus. Scripture tells us that he is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. Psalm 46, verse 1. But notice the basis of Mary and Martha's appeal. They asked Jesus for help, not because they had fed him and the disciples many times in their home, or because they felt Jesus owed them something. They said, "Lord, your dear friend is very sick." In other translations, it says, "He whom you love is sick." They appealed to his love. The most surprising thing for most of us in reading the story of Lazarus is Jesus' slow response. He stayed where he was for the next 2 days before telling his disciples, "Let's go back to Judea." John 11, verse 7. Why did he wait? In Jesus' day, a person wasn't really considered dead for a number of days after they had fallen asleep in death. Jesus truly came when Lazarus had truly died. He didn't come and wake him out of a sleep that people had when they would go to bed at night. No, his perfect timing. The most surprising thing for most of us in reading the story of Lazarus is Jesus' slow response. He stayed where he was for the next 2 days before telling his disciples, "Let us go back to Judea." And the disciples were even afraid that they would be put to death because he waited. The Bible makes it clear that Jesus loved this family. Because of this, we might have expected the story to say, "Now, Jesus loved Martha and Mary and Lazarus. And when he heard about Lazarus' sickness, he found the fastest horse and rode full speed to get to his sick friend." Or, for that matter, being God, Jesus could just have materialized there in that town. But he didn't do that. He waited. He delayed his arrival to Bethany because he wanted people to realize that Lazarus was indeed dead. That sounds like a contradiction. If Jesus really loved him, why didn't he go immediately to heal him? When we face hardship or tragedy in our lives, we may have the same questions. If Jesus really loves me, why did he let this happen? It's hard to see through eyes filled with tears. But the point of the story is this: even though we cannot see how a situation will resolve or why it has come upon us, we can know it flows from the love of God and is controlled by Him. Besides, His delays are not necessarily His denials. Ecclesiastes 3:11 says, He has made everything beautiful in its time. Jesus didn't rush to Lazarus because He was looking at the big picture. Mary and Martha had their eyes on the immediate moment. We've often focused on the small picture, on what will make us happy and comfortable immediately. But the eyes of God are on eternity. His focus is on what will make us holy, draw us closer to Him, and strengthen us spiritually. Mary and Martha must have been frustrated when Jesus missed the funeral. Even Martha said, "Boy, Lord, if only You had been here, my brother would not have died." Those were pretty brash words. Mary, for what it's worth, didn't even leave the house. You've probably felt that way. Maybe a spouse of many years has passed away. Maybe your business has failed. Maybe your parents divorced, or your children have gone astray. And so you ask, "Where were You, Lord?" Even Jesus cried out, my God, why have You forsaken me? Why have You left me all alone?" During His anguish on the cross, Matthew 27, verse 46. It is not sinful to verbalize our questions. It is not wrong to bring our doubts to the Lord. There's nothing wrong when asking God why, as long as we don't do it with the idea that God somehow owes us an answer immediately. In fact, when Martha questioned Jesus, He did not correct her. He just pointed her toward the eternal perspective. I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in Me will live even after dying. And everyone who lives in Me and believes in Me will never, ever die. Do you believe this, Martha? His timing had an intentional, eternal component that Martha could not see. Jesus knew that hope grows strongest in the garden of pain. Finally, this story shows us that Jesus, in all his power and glory, fully understands our pain and our sorrows. Jesus wept for the death of his friend. He had empathy toward the grieving family. Jesus knew completely what they were going through, because he also experienced that sadness. In a prophecy written long before Jesus arrived, the prophet Isaiah described him this way: he was despised and rejected, a man of sorrows, acquainted with deepest grief. Isaiah 53, verse 3. He was looked down on and passed over, a man who suffered, who knew pain firsthand. One look at him and people turned away. We even looked down on him at times, thought he was scum. But the fact is, it was our pains he carried, our disfigurements, all the things wrong with us. He carried out our weaknesses. Our sorrows weighed him down when we turned our backs on him, called sin. Jesus knows what it's like to suffer. He walked in our shoes and then some. He willingly subjected himself to the limitations and pain of his human experience and voluntarily put himself in the way of danger as he bore our sorrows on the cross. This story reassures us. We have personally faced suffering and enormous loss. There will never be a valley so deep that God won't walk through it with us. All of us know our journeys through life will take us through some dark valleys. But the nature of being human, that's what it means. We will have to face hardships. He will sustain us in our hour of need. And the suffering of a Christian can always be a powerful testimony to a lost world. He is with us during every moment of crisis. We will have our good days and bad days, and he knows what those are like. And though we can't always see his eternal timing, we can rest on his promises, such as found in Isaiah 43. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned. nor shall the flame scorch you. That's Isaiah chapter 43, verse 2. And every one of us have had a lost one depart from this world of tears to be with Jesus. Jesus was present with my wife, Louise, and my sons, Luther, and daughter, Catherine, when our son was taken to be with him. He was present when my son left this world. We had to face hardship, but he sustained us in our hour of need. And the suffering of a Christian can always be a powerful testimony in this lost world. That's the great lesson of the distinction between law and gospel. Join us for more of this on Sunday, or on Monday. God bless you.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday morning at 9:30 on KFUO. For a tax-deductible gift to Law and Gospel, please make your check out to Law and Gospel and mail to Law and Gospel, P.O. Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132, or call toll-free 1-877-267-1962.
Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.